What's up, guys?
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode
of Kicking and Screening. Your favorite movie podcast. I know that it's some of your favorite movie podcasts, and I'd like to shout out some of our fans following our Spotify Wrapped. We were some people's top listened to podcasts, so shout out to Jacob Harsh. Shout out to Johnny for being
Johnny.
A listener. Sylvia, Shireen, all sent it to us. So thank you guys for being fans. We've got
you.
A fun episode for us today. Would you like to tell us what we're talking about?
I'm going to give a clue.
You guessed it. We've got Disney on the brain again. But as we look forward to the new year, we have some ideas that Disney can look forward to doing. And we've got some ideas for some sequels. But before that,
Sorry, guys, I have a cold. We don't think Disney is making enough money or content.
Yeah. Do you guys think there's enough Disney sequels? I feel like they're never really doing that.
No.
I'm tired of original stories.
Yeah, I want to see my favorite things rebooted and done better.
So we kind of have this new idea for Disney to kind of use some of their old content and make sequels of it. It's kind of like really innovative and new.
Do we want to do our quotes first or our Letterboxd reviews first?
Let's do our lebs.
Our lebs?
Our okay. Lebbies.
I'll do my lebbies. So this is for the reboot of The Muppets in 2011. And it's a list of actors with less Oscars than The Muppets. Amy Adams, this movie's the closest she's gotten to an Oscar. Jake Gyllenhaal, William Dafoe, Margot Robbie, Robert Pattinson, Saoirse Ronan, Ryan Gosling, Chloe Sevigny, Hugh Jackman, Glenn Close,
dang.
Edward Norton.
Oh, yeah, because Glenn Close still isn't.
Toni Collette, Tom Cruise, Tom Hardy, Rosamund Pike, Annette Bening.
Oh, girl.
Come on, Annette. Michelle Williams and Samuel L. Jackson.
I want to ask all of them. We're actually going to have them all on the podcast next week, and we're going to ask them how does it feel that they have less Oscars than the Muppets.
Yeah. And they're going to come on, and then we're going to severely embarrass them, and then they'll never come on again, and then they'll cry.
Yeah. It'll probably mess up our careers, but it'll be worth it for the pod.
It'll be worth it for the three people who listen.
I have a Letterboxd review for the movie Sky High. I don't even think it's a Disney movie, but I associate it with Disney, so, like, if anyone wants to be, like, mad on a technicality, they can fight me. Mm-hmm. But Scorsese criticized Marvel, but he never criticized Sky High. So it's safe.
That's true. That I agree with that one. So this is my quote. I think you can guess it because it's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's not. Someone listening might get it. Have you any idea why a raven is like a writing desk?
Oh, I can literally hear it. Like I can hear them being like a raven like a writing desk, but I cannot figure out what movie it's from.
It's Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. Is this the quote from the animated one? I bet it's in both.
It's in both. It's from the book. Lewis Carroll book, too. So, yeah. But I was going for the one made by Tim Burton because why not Tim Burton?
She loves Tim Burton. One thing about her. Here is my quote. You know, most normal people get to know each other before they get married. They date.
Date?
Yeah, you know, date. You go someplace special, like a restaurant or a movie or a museum, and you just hang out and talk. What do you talk about? About each other. About...
Is this Enchanted?
Yes. Yes!
I think that's the first time we've ever guessed
it. Yeah. Unless it's been, like, real easy.
Yeah. But Enchanted...
I'm impressed.
Okay, Enchanted's on the mind because... So I've been rewatching the old Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire. And I was watching it with our friends Samir, Joe, and Noah. And there's a scene where MJ, played by Kirsten Dunst, who has red hair, is in a wedding dress running through Central Park. And they were like, this is like Enchanted, because she's a redhead in a park.
I love Enchanted so much.
So Enchanted was on the mind.
Yeah, and it'll be on the mind later.
Do we want to go into our favorite Disney movies?
Yes.
Favorites?
So we'll start off with just some of our fave sequels. Fave reboots, fave reduns. So my number three on the list is Finding Dory. I'd like to say a caveat that I actually hate this movie because it makes me cry so much. I have never cried more in a movie. I think I've said this on this maybe before. Oh, I've never cried more in a movie than I have in Finding Dory. And, like, full fact, sobbed for, like, a long time after that movie ended. And I tried to rewatch it with my family. I was like, oh, we should watch Finding Dory. And I turned on the movie, me and my sister, 5 minutes in, sobbing. It is way too sad because it's like, oh, it's just a little fish and she's lost. But it's like, no, she's literally a child with disabilities lost in the world. Like, and then you think about how many children are lost and, like, and that, like, it's done. Cannot watch that movie. Makes me cry
That's
so much.
That's really funny. So it did not, that movie did not make me cry, but I did not think about how she was a child with disabilities lost in the wilderness of the ocean.
I don't, it just gets me.
I just remember Finding Dory, like, the hype for Finding Dory was so huge. Like, I remember...
Yeah, we were, because it was kind of one of the first times Disney was trying out Veronica and I's tactic of rebooting things.
Yeah, and we were like, oh my God.
People still liked Ellen at this time.
Yeah. People still liked Ellen. Skechers were still on the market. Heelys.
Yeah.
Like, it was 2008 and they were talking about a reboot of Finding Dory.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for so long. And then they did it and it made me cry like a baby. So,
So I have Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, I love Oz.
Which is kind of like a random one to choose, but I really like
this. Which Franco is that?
Movie. Dave. Okay. Dave Franco. The one that's in Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. Wait, that's... It's James in Freaks and Geeks.
So then it's James Franco.
Okay.
I always say Dave, but it was James.
Okay.
You're right. James Franco. And I remember looking up this movie because I was scared. So I went on one of those, like, parent review things. Meanwhile, I'm, like, 14. Like, who cares? And I'm like, okay. And they're like, there's a jump scare at this with a flying monkey. And I was like, okay.
Got it.
Jump scare. The Wicked Witch of the West melts kind of like horribly and turns evil. I was like, okay, got it. Like, I went in prepared and I liked it because it was a really pretty, also the Temple Run game they made for it, kind of baller.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember really liking that movie.
Yeah.
My number two is the movie Kronk's New Groove. So my lore with the Emperor's New Groove cinematic universe, transmedia franchise, if you will, is I started with Emperor's New School, which was the Disney Channel show where the Emperor went to school. And I thought that was the core material. Found out it wasn't. Then I watched Kronk's New Groove, thinking this is the core material. Really liked it. Really liked Kronk's New Groove. It wasn't until, I think, freshman year of high school.
That's insane.
I was like, wait a second. I've got this all wrong. Emperor's New Groove is the first one, which is also really good, but it kind of connected all these pieces together, made the transmedia franchise whole, and I love the universe.
Because I remember seeing the show probably before I saw the movie.
Yeah.
The show was awesome.
Yeah. I don't remember, like, he was just at school hanging out, I guess, but it was fun.
Yeah. Also just the animation.
And then even later, you find out that the title is a play on, like, the classic piece, like, Emperor's New Clothes, which is, like, the old story. And it's like, over time, layers.
The layers to Emperor's New Groove is insane. So next, this is kind of a question mark. I was like, is Joker Disney? Because, like, okay.
The answer is no.
I just realized.
Okay.
Because the Joker is DC.
Oh.
So there goes that joke. Rest in peace.
Wait, can you just make a Joker joke?
No, there wasn't a joke. I was just like, is the Joker part of Disney? Because I thought that would be funny. And then I just realized Joker is DC Comics, which Disney does not own.
Okay. Well, that's really embarrassing for you.
That's really embarrassing. And now it's eternalized.
She doesn't even know if it's DC or Marvel, you guys. So just know that about her. She said she was rewatching all the Spider-Man movies, and you might think, like, oh, she's, like, she can hang.
I can't hang, guys.
And my top one, honestly, like, I'm kind of reflecting, why did I choose this as a top one? But I think it's because I very recently saw it and laughed a lot, was Ralph Breaks the Internet, the Wreck-It Ralph sequel.
Oh, you mean the walking commercial?
For?
It's a commercial, girl. It's like the emoji movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. I remember there was a lot of jokes, and they were, like, in the thing and in the main world, and he was, like, I don't know. I just remember it being good. So.
I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't.
You can't comment.
I can't comment. I'm not allowed.
If anyone has seen Ralph Breaks the Internet and wants to talk about it, feel free to message me.
So let's talk about the inevitable title. Why isn't it Ralph Wrecks the Internet? Like, come on.
Yeah, but it was right after Kim broke the internet, I guess.
It wasn't right after,
though. No, it was a little far. Well, I mean, they probably came up with the idea right after and then spent 2 years making the movie, so by the time
but
the joke landed.
But you can change the title.
I don't know. I got it.
I like wreck is so much. Okay. My number one is...
Okay, wait, but it would be Wreck-It Ralph 2. What Ralph Wreck... Can you say that? Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
You're right, I can't.
So,
I can't. They were right. They were right. Ralph Wrecks... You're right. No, that's dumb. That's dumb. But Wreck-It Ralph was...
Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph Wrecks...
Hey, guys. This week, your homework is to say Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Wrecks the Internet 5 times and then throw up out everywhere.
Don't throw up.
My number one is The Force Awakens. Durr.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was just like, I grew up with, I almost said, I grew up with Star Wars. I would watch it with my grandpa, and I was like 5, and I was like, what the hell's happening? Because we would watch them out of order, and just whichever one he was feeling. I was like, what's going on? And it's very plot heavy. And he was like, just watch the movie. But then I saw The Force Awakens, and I was like, this is crazy.
I loved The Force Awakens because I was never into Star Wars, but what I did love, I loved the new characters. I loved Rey. She was so cool, girl boss. I loved Adam Driver. That was my beginning love affair with Adam Driver, so, like, obviously, I'm into that. And then I loved BB-8
so much.
He was so funny, and I also loved because it's voiced by... Schwartz, whatever his name.
Ben Schwartz?
Yeah.
That's middle insane.
He's the one who goes, burp, 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 burp. That's literally him. Him and Bill Hader are, like, literally credited as the voice of BB-8, which I was like, I love. So
that's
I have a
so
BB-8
funny.
Pillow, like a little fluff BB-8. And I've got a lot of BB-8 merch because I got into it and then Christmas happened shortly after, so.
What's fun about The Force Awakens is it's so many indie actors' first blockbuster, like Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver, Dom Hiddleston. Like, it is just full of, like, indie actors who are now, like, huge.
And obviously, like, I get that the subsequent 2 movies kind of, like, ruined the entire Star Wars franchise for people, but as someone who was really just into, I don't even remember Adam Driver's character's name.
Kylo Ren.
Oh, my God, yeah. Someone who was just really into Rey and Kylo Ren's, like, sexual tension, like, if that was, like, the main thing you wanted, you were satisfied in that movie. Therefore, I was like, I'm chill on this. Also, every time I watched the Star Wars movies, I'd watch them. My dad would take our family because he loved it. And then, therefore, he'd take us to, like, Studio Movie Grill where you, like, get a meal and, like, they bring you the food while you're watching it and it's, like, really nice seats. So it was always, like, the best time because he did that because he knew we didn't want to see the Star Wars movies, but he wanted us to go with him. So it was like a bribe. And so I was always excited to see the Star Wars movies because it was like a nice theater.
I never saw the third one.
But you're fine.
Rise of Skywalker is the second, right?
I think so.
That we saw after I totaled the family car and my parents wanted to make me stop crying. And that's the first time I ever fell asleep in a movie theater.
Because of the adrenaline.
Because I had been crying all day from totaling the family car.
Yeah.
And then I was in a dark room.
Yeah, that's fair.
On a lazy boy chair. So that's my story.
All right. And now it's time for us to pitch our ideas. Whoop, whoop, whoop. So if any execs at Disney are listening, do know that we actually own all of these ideas. And if you take one of them, we will sue.
I'll sue you. So. We're also posting this on the internet, so that means it's real.
Yeah.
I can go first.
Yeah.
So my first idea is called Next Disney Channel Star. And, why doesn't this exist?
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, keep going.
So this would be kind of like the Next Elle Woods on YouTube or
The Glee Project.
Yeah.
I've never seen a single episode of Glee, but I have seen every season of Glee Project.
Yeah. The Glee Project is awesome. It's also just like, why doesn't this exist?
Yeah, because they're just finding, oh, my God, preteens? If this show existed when I was a kid, honestly, it's actually good that this didn't happen because I was, like, so insane And, like, I didn't need that show to exist at that age.
Something really interesting. So I'm in a TV in the home class, and what a lot of people were studying was, like, children's shows and how over the years there's kind of, like, so before there was the nuclear family, and that's what we saw in the 50s, 60s, and then, like, even 90s with, well, it's not the nuclear family, but still, like, kids are kids, and they run around and are kids. And then you get into the 2000s, and then it's, like, everyone's famous. Like, everyone is trying to be famous all the time in every Disney show.
I remember having a realization about that as a kid. I was, especially with Nick shows, I was like, iCarly, she's famous. Victoria, they're trying to be famous. Big Time Rush, they're famous. I was like, where's the show for just the girls, you know?
Where's the shows for the girls from McKinney, Texas, doing her best?
But I was rooting for it because I, like, loved the star-studded drama.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be honest, I think the reason they haven't done that is because of the plight of Disney Channel stars, like Amanda Bynes, Miley Cyrus, like, people love to hate
a
Disney Channel star.
Hard place to be.
But I was like, if you have Selena Gomez and Zendaya hosting...
Yeah, it'd be a... It'd be on Disney Plus. It'd be that'd go crazy.
It'd
okay,
go insane.
Wait, they cannot hear this.
Redacted.
First idea is WALL-E 2. Y'all did not get the message the first time. For Christ's sake, do better. Our planet is dying. It's kind of really gonna be the same thing, but it's really gonna hit because I'm a whole planet filled with trash and one little robot did not.
There's a cockroach, too.
And little cockroach, they did not get the point across. Like, they just needed to make
another one.
Really nail in that message.
Yeah, we definitely need a second. That's so funny. My other idea for Disney is buy the Harry Potter franchise already. Like, why don't they own it?
So as a big Harry Potter fan, they did make a deal. Like, they did make an offer to buy it, but... You think about the offer was also in kind of including theme park things, and Disney was never going to give as much of their theme park to Harry Potter World. Like, they wouldn't have done as much because they don't need to. But Universal made a bigger deal, and then they went on to make, like, whole Harry Potter World in Universal, which kind of, like, really brought Universal up to par. So they kind of but, like, as a Harry Potter fan, I was glad Universal got it because they put in a lot more effort into the theme park aspect of it than Disney would have.
I also think probably Disney not acquiring Harry Potter is the only reason that it's not a full-on monopoly.
Yeah. Also, I guess because that's just about the theme parks. I know at the beginning they didn't bet on it because they kind of thought it was, like, a little more mature than their content. And so they had Chronicles of Narnia and thought, like, they were really going to be successful with that one. And it did not take off.
No. No one cares about Chronicles of Narnia.
I, like it, but...
I saw the first one.
I read all the books. All of them.
I did not read a single book, but I did read The Silver Chair, which is about, like, their cousin.
Oh. They were weird. Like, the books were weird. I get why it didn't take off. My next idea is, doesn't know as fun of a title, it's just Enchanted 2, but I was just saying, like, you know, they kind of have a lot of content at the end of Enchanted. We've got Giselle living in the real world, and then we've got Idina Menzel's character is back in the animated world as the princess, and it's like, there could so be some more, like... You know, like, oh, they've got to do this for her to become... Like, they could have so come up with something, and, like, we can do more of the back and forth between the real world and the animated world, and it's so fun. And, like, you could even, like, do something... I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's some potential. They left a lot of...
No, you're so right.
...story to grow.
No, because that movie ends setting up for a sequel so easily.
Yeah.
The dragon, she just defeated a dragon.
Yeah, she just defeated a whole dragon.
And she's married Dr. Dreamy.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
Come
on. It's Amy Adams. How does she know that she loves her?
We played the theme song, this theme music for that movie in orchestra, and it was so
I love Enchanted.
Okay. My next idea is called It's a Wookiee Spinoff Show. I don't know why I was so hyper-fixated on Star Wars, but I was like, Wookiees are cute, but it'll be incomprehensible because they don't speak English or anything. So it'll just kind of be like these bears chilling in the forest, kind of like hitting each other, being weird.
Would there be subtitles?
No.
Okay.
They just kind of like, I feel like honestly, I'm going to be honest, they could go really experimental with it if they wanted to. Or they could go really lame with it, but I'm just like, Wookiee spinoff show. I know there's so many Star Wars spinoff, like Clone Wars, Mandalorian, but Why isn't there one about the Wookiees hanging out? It could be for babies, little babies who want to watch Star Wars content.
Yeah, and little nerd parents who want to feed their children Star Wars content.
Nerd parents who kind of want like a Sesame Street kind of deal, but it's Wookiees.
Yeah.
So think about that one. Chew on that.
There could be a really cute kid show just in the Star Wars universe.
It's kind of weird that they haven't done that considering Star Wars is so mature.
Yeah.
And, like, I know they tried to do that with Clone Wars, but the animation, no offense, is ugly.
Also, it was, like, really sci-fi. I'm talking, like, kids hanging out with C-3PO.
Yeah. Well, and you could, that would be the perfect funnel to get people into.
Yeah, fueling the narrative, fueling the
Yeah. So think about population. That. Chew on that.
My next, all of mine are kind of movies. My next one is Toy Story 5. And in this Toy Story 5, the toys are God. So I don't really know if you remember that they've kind of become, as the movies progress, more and more transient on their experience as like these objects with feelings in life. And because in the last one, they like made life by making Forky.
That was insane.
Like they brought forth a new life from nothing.
Trash.
So I think that the only next place to go is, like, full existential, like, the toys are God. What is meaning? What is life?
Like, the toys have toys. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Are we just, like, circling?
Are we someone's toys?
Yeah. Are we the toys in Toy Story?
Yeah. Is there some sort of, is God Andy playing with us?
Mm-hmm. Or is God the Toy Story toys and Andy is a titan that came before us?
Yeah. There's definitely something there.
There's something there. Like, you already made Hercules, Disney. We know this is within you.
Fun fact, I was not allowed to watch Hercules growing up because they were Greek gods. So I watched it for the first time in seventh grade English class. We were learning about Greek gods.
I remember my freshman year teacher in high school hated Hercules. He was like, it's so inaccurate to the story. You guys cannot... It's a Disney movie for children. Who cares? I don't care. I really like that movie.
Yeah, there's good songs. The theater kids are always like, where's the Hercules musical? Where's the Hercules musical? And, no. Like, they're right, though.
No. Keep it away from them. I'm sorry. Like, I know. I can't let them have that.
Yeah. Because they would love, like, there'd be a really cool muse chorus of, like, the five girls. They'd be fiercing.
Yeah, they would be fiercing. So. I forgot that they would be fiercing.
Yeah. It would just be really great as a stage adaptation, but whatever. Fun fact, actually, just talking about, like, reminiscing on my theater things, is they have a stage adaptation of Finding Nemo. It's 30 minutes long, and it started on their cruise line and is now in Animal Kingdom. But it's actually, it's a musical version of Finding Nemo, like, 30 minutes long. It's so good. Great songs, great puppets, just, like... I don't know, because, like, Lion King on Broadway is really good, because they do, like, cool puppet stuff.
Yeah.
They would just do the same thing, but with fish.
So it sounds like something I'd love. Yeah. That's, like, there's a quote that Walt Disney said, it's always someone's first time at the park or something like that. So this is funny. They have this in the WALL-E room at Fenway Park. They have a bunch of Disney quotes. So it's just fun that, like, the mascots of Boston sports team live to the same standard
of Disney World
of
mascots.
Disney World mascots. They're essentially the same, if you think
in
about
it.
In the mascot universe, they're one and the same. So my next idea was a Chicken Little restaurant. And I'm about to make a dark joke, but I was like, it's literally all farm animals that are edible. So, like, you go. There's duck, chicken, and pork, etc.
Would the sky be falling? How would you play that in there?
Okay. You'll see. Every hour is Don't Go Breaking My Heart dance break, where that plays, and then someone who is sitting down can sing karaoke to it, or they can just kind of, like, sing along in their chair, but, like, someone can come up and sing. Now, here's where you save money, Disney. We know you're struggling for cash. You can use an abandoned kind of building. Now the crumbling infrastructure is on theme. The sky is falling. It's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
There seems to be maybe some liability issues, but that's
it's on theme.
That's what they'll work out. That's not for us.
We're
ideas, guys. We're not.
We're the ideas people. Like, also, if you take this idea, we'll sue you. So you're going to get sued both ends. So might as well figure out how to make the infrastructure on theme. Next, alien meal is the special alien meal you get. You get served garbage from the garbage can because it's out of this world. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. So it's really cheap.
So Chicken Little Restaurant is a cheap little cheap, like a chicken alternative that maybe it's for the people who aren't looking to spend as much cash.
And next door, there's like a nicer restaurant that's like the Ratatouille restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, who actually, no offense to the French, but like who really wants French
I don't want French cuisine ever.
I'd rather eat Chicken Little.
Well, I'm going to eat escargot. No.
I'd rather eat
Chicken
Little chicken. Himself.
I'd rather eat Chicken Little himself while the ceiling crumbles onto my plate.
Done.
And I listen to Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Also, this was just a side kind of question. So you know how Disney does, like, movies to justify their rides for whatever reason?
Yeah.
Jungle Cruise was PG-13. What's with that?
That is actually silly. Also, I didn't see that, and neither did my parents. And my parents were, like, kind of the audience because they love Jungle Cruise. That's, like, my dad's favorite ride.
I remember my boss saw it over the summer, and I was, like, working at her house, and then they were like, oh, we're buying tickets for Jungle Cruise. It's PG-13, though. Is it okay? And it's like, why would you make it PG-13?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be, like, action, adventure, but
just
I don't know.
PG.
They didn't seem to win with that one because I would have heard about it.
Okay, to be honest, the people I heard who saw it said it was good. Then again, that's moms with, like, 8-year-old kids, and it's like, how's the content you're usually seeing?
Yeah. They're just running through the jungle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I got it just from the trailer.
We all saw Jumanji, the reboot. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing. All right. My next one. So as we've kind of been thinking outside of the box in terms of mediums, I'm going to kind of amend this idea. Are you familiar with the 1990s Disney Channel original movie Smart House?
No.
So basically the premise of Smart House is this family buys this house and it's a smart house, you know, it's got like tech, and it's like this woman's voice helping them, but then the woman like comes and then she lives in the house and then it kind of turns in like a horror movie and it's about like, you know, like technology bad because she like ends up taking over the house and they have to like destroy this woman.
What movie was
I think it was either 1999 or like 2000.
That makes so much
sense. But I was kind of like, now, wait a second. That's kind of our houses now, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually all have smart houses.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the whole point of that movie was, like, don't. So I think both there could be a remake movie. And then I also think there could be an interactive art exhibit where you go to this house. And it's, like, you think it's, like, this smart house. And you see, like, oh, wow, maybe they advertise it as, like, don't even advertise it as, like, an art experience to like come look at this house with all this technology features. So people come and they look, and then while they're all in there, it like turns into this like horror thing, and then they like, don't realize. And at the end, and they're like, "Don't have a smart house. Like technology will destroy us. Like, what do you need a smart fridge for?"
That'd be so off-brand of Disney, though.
Yeah,
of them being like, "Wait, guys, technology is actually bad, and corporations are bad. We don't want you buying things."
So that would kind of be something they would dabble with in Smart House 2. But it's like, I guess it's Alexa's voice taking over. I don't know. Because I literally think, I'm like, did we learn nothing from that movie? And the answer is no, we learned nothing.
It seems like we just need sequels for people to finally learn the lesson from the first one.
Yeah.
So this is my final one, and I'm kind of like, Disney, you need to do this right now.
Yeah.
Lo-fi Disney to study to.
No.
Tell me that wouldn't get hours and hours and hours of streaming.
I would have listened to it so much this week.
Like, here's the thing. It's a great way for little kids to study. Like
yeah, just like this kind of like lo-fi music, maybe like no words, but this like great orchestral sounds.
Yeah, and they're
the
like
classics you know and love.
And they're just studying, and then it's like, okay, like, it's time to do homework, but we can listen to Disney lo-fi. Like, also, you're breaking into YouTube. Like, why doesn't Disney have a YouTube present?
Wait, you guys should hire us. We're really smart.
Okay, Annette's literally a business major, and I'm a TV major. Annette's a business minor, and I'm an ad minor.
We literally are so equipped for this.
Like, you have no idea how perfect we are for you, Disney. Also, I can't wait for when I inevitably probably apply to Disney one day. Doubt I'll get the job. And I'll send you guys this and be like, think about it.
Yeah.
think about it.
I just want to be their idea, the ideas guy of Disney.
Yeah.
An Imagineer,
I want to sit in a room. Yeah. Sit in a room, say yes, say no, kind of wave my finger.
Because sometimes I'll see Disney movie, or like just movies in general, and be like, especially like the last Star Wars, I was like, you guys, I know nothing about this. And if you gave me 2 hours, I'd make a better movie.
Yeah.
Like literally, like, you just, no one asked me for my opinion. And nope. That's kind of
and,
one of their.
And look at you now. You have a franchise that was the biggest in the world that's dead.
Yeah.
So no like, one cares.
You could have asked anyone. Anyway. My last one is, I actually, the more I think about it, I'm like, no, wait a second, this could be really cool. So again, I mentioned that Sky High, we're not really sure if it's Disney, but like, it's on Disney Plus,
yeah.
And it aired on Disney Channel all the time, so
okay,
that's
so it's
how I
a
saw
DCOM.
It. No, it's not a DCOM, it was in theaters, I don't really know who owns it, but it aired on Disney Channel all the time, so that's how I saw it. But them in college, and it could also kind of be like a TV show, and like episode and be kind of like edgy, promiscuous, but they've got like powers, and so like it's kind of like Euphoria, you know, not
kinda
as like
The Boys.
I haven't seen that.
The Boys is like, but it's an Amazon Prime original that is about like superheroes, and it's kind of like gritty.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of have like them dealing with their like college lives, but they also have powers.
That's
and they're
really
fun.
With that.
We can get Nicholas Braun from his successful
God.
Career in
oh
Succession to come participate in Sky High College, the show.
Yeah, shout out to Maya, the biggest Nicholas Braun fan we know. We're gonna get you this spinoff show.
Yeah.
We're gonna get it for you, girl.
For you, girl.
We'll get it for you. All right, I think.
Yeah, that's
a wrap. Should we sing them off?
Yeah.